Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today we are talking trash amongst a host of other eco-conscious subjects in studio with Andrea Pinnabel, the president of the South Face Energy Institute. You are just down the street from us. Andrea, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start small. Your professional timeline is very fascinating. You know, you've worked with really large companies and you've done a lot of really innovative and sustainable stuff for them. So kind of walk me through your progression from where you were all the way to South Face and kind of, I mean, if this question wasn't long-winded enough, could you pinpoint somewhere where your passion for sustainability was really sparked? Where does that come from for you?
Sure. Yeah, I have a very interesting journey of a career. I say it kind of starts back. I'm a child of the Midwest. I grew up in Iowa, and I think my love of land and the environment goes all the way back to those early days. I'm an engineer by education. I have a degree in chemical engineering as my undergrad, and I wanted to actually initially work for NASA. And when I realized that kind of limited my career, I didn't want to do roads and bridges, and that was where environmental engineering sat. So back in those days, so I actually went chemical, which is great because it's really about the process and it's about how things happen and how things work. And that's really about the environmental. After college, my career, I kind of put into three big categories. The first big category was industry. So I worked for a big energy company. And part of that, I actually spent almost 3 years as an expat working in Luxembourg in Europe. And that's actually where my love of the built environment and sustainability started, because it really was a good mix or a good match, a marriage between the environmental love and how people with limited resources over time had come to these beautiful, sustainable communities and how all of that worked in beautiful harmony with transportation and water and energy and air and all those things working together, green roofs and farmers markets. And that was very foreign for somebody, you know, a young woman growing up in Iowa.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really opened up my eyes. So when I came back to the U.S., I worked for another division of that same company, kind of went from air, which is where I started, into water. And I really got a love of urban stormwater and urban stormwater quality. And my next big chunk of my career was in consulting. So both from owning my own consulting firm to running a green building and urban stormwater practice for a medium-sized firm called Kimberly Horn here, which is, I was actually here in town, but that was sort of at the where green building was first coming on board. So this was back in like the mid-90s. And I ran the only lead for neighborhood development pilot in the city of Atlanta back in those days. You know, really enjoyed my years in consulting. And when the economic downturn hit, I really took that opportunity, as a lot of professionals do, to kind of say, okay, well, what's next? And right. While, you know, my consulting career was moving in the right direction, I realized I really wasn't a consultant at heart. I really wanted to see projects from beginning to end. And I had an amazing opportunity sort of land in my lap with the Home Depot Foundation. So the Home Depot Foundation was focused on green affordable housing. And what they really realize is that you can't have affordable housing and stop at the lot line of the home. You have to look at the entire community. And so I came on board to run their sustainable community development program. And one of the programs that we launched was the Sustainable Cities Institute, which is an online free resource four cities looking at sustainability holistically. How do you do it? Not just energy and water, but economic development, transportation, green space. And we incubated that actually with South Face. That was my team, and that was my first introduction to that organization. And then I spent 6 years at Starwood Hotels as their chief sustainability officer, which was fun
before joining South Face. So all of that, I mean, all of those different steps brought you to South Face. So, you know, we'll talk at a very high level, but for those that are unfamiliar with South Face, you know, tell me that story a little bit. What's the mission? You know, what are some of the goals? What are some of the really cool things that you guys are doing, you know, in our own backyard and, you know, for the planet as a whole?
Sure. South Face is an amazing organization. It really is. It's also very unique in this space. We were started actually in 1978 as a grassroots volunteer organization focused on solar energy. And that was very unique in the late 70s to have an organization really focused on solar and renewable energy in general. From that, we grew into a nonprofit, now celebrating our 40th year this year.
Wow.
And we are focused on a whole range from policy all the way to workforce development education. And we do a lot of programs on the implementation side. And where what our work is really focused on is anything that's intersects with the built environment. So energy, water, waste, land, and health. And then with the underpinning of the built environment and equity kind of at our core.
So we've been lucky enough to do some, you know, work together, we meaning Rubicon. And, you know, we recently partnered up with the Institute for the Talk Trash campaign.
Right.
You know, what inspired you to launch Talk Trash? Because, you know, when I think of South Face, you guys are such a major player in water and energy, you know, to rope waste and bring it into it. You know, what successes have you seen so far? What have some of the challenges been? And what was the goal of the campaign overall?
Sure. Yeah, this was a little bit of a departure for us, but it was an experiment. So we are at our core, we walk the walk and talk the talk. And so we are a demonstration facility, and our head of facilities was like, we want to be zero waste. In order for us to actually be zero waste, we needed to fully understand what our waste streams were like, and how do we not only get to zero waste for our staff, but then we have people in and out of South Face all the time. Groups come in. And so how do we really educate them? And so when we were doing our internal waste audit and seeing what some of the challenges we had, it really inspired us to pull together some partners like Rubicon, Charm, and Compost Now as the other partners, and really talk about how do offices make this commitment and what are some of the challenges and how can we help?
Mm-hmm. So you said that you have, you know, whether it's students or organizations, people coming through mm-hmm. your offices all day long. What does that mean? What are they seeing when they come through? What is that tour process like? I know you guys have a very cool space.
Thank you.
You know, obviously this is a podcast and I wish everyone could see it, but if you had to kind of describe that environment and some of the key aspects of it.
Sure. And I would also encourage anybody who's in the Atlanta area to come by. We are a demonstration facility. So we have two really big parts of our buildings. And just to back up, we are a LEED Platinum, EarthCraft Platinum. We have an Energy Star score of 99.
Let's back up even further than that. Define EarthCraft for people who may not know.
Sure. EarthCraft initially was a program partnering with the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association to look at high performance residential housing. And we really look at not just the energy and water, but also how it's built, the materials that are used, the overall site. And EarthCraft, out of that original partnership for house, has actually grown to a whole program of high performance certifications, including light commercial, multifamily, and historic preservation called sustainable preservation.
So continue about
back to the headquarters.
Yes.
So initially, the house part was a partnership with the city of Atlanta for the Olympics. And the overall goal was to show people how you can build efficient, beautiful homes. And so that part of the facility, and then the Eco Office, which was constructed, the original one was in 1995. The Eco Office opened in 2011, which is light commercial. It's a demonstration facility of market available technology. So we have architects, homeowners, builders, schools who come through our facilities all the time and take a look at all of the innovative technologies that we have and how you can have it in a beautiful way. So from daylight and views to highly efficient systems, they also can take a look at our bees. We have bees so on cool. site as well.
That's so cool. My mom and I really want bees and we really want chickens. You know, there are so many buzzwords in the sustainability community. You know, zero waste is one of them. You know, I think that you and I would both agree that zero waste is a journey. It's not a destination or a goal. But, you know, one of the buzzwords that I think about a lot, and I was, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to ask a sustainability, you know, expert. We talk a lot about the circular economy.
Correct.
And we talk a lot about companies that are closing the loop. Mm-hmm. So if you had to describe the circular economy and what that process means to someone who may not be familiar, may not be in our field of work, how would you describe the circular economy to someone?
That's a really interesting question. And I think it's something that we really struggle with. Sustainability tends to be very wonky.
Yes.
In the language and the vocabulary that we use. And I would describe the circular economy something like the regenerative economy, something that we're giving back as much or more than what we're taking out. And that in specific to waste and materials is not wasted unless you waste it, unless you put it in the landfill. So right. upcycling, downcycling, looking for ways to repurpose and reuse. I also often describe it as the way that our grandparents and our great-grandparents used to live, in that during the Depression, you never threw anything out. You always found another purpose for it. And in a lot of ways, that's a circular economy, is that we want to make sure that we are finding opportunities to reuse, look at things in a different way, combine things that we think are waste and looking for opportunities to reuse them.
I'm going to steal that from you. I hope you know. No, I think it's a really great way to describe it. It really kind of shows the building blocks of the concept in a way that like everyone can understand. And that's, like you said, a lot of the themes and a lot of the stuff that we talk about in sustainability is wonky and kind of hard to understand unless you are in the space. And a lot of our listeners aren't, which is why they're listening, because they want to learn, they want to grow. So I definitely wanted to touch on that. So Rubicon and South Face are major players in the sustainability game in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, our hometown and our own backyard a little bit. Let's talk about the Atlanta Better Buildings Challenge. What was that? You know, how did you guys pull that off? And then why do you think Atlanta specifically is a leader for, you know, this movement?
We've got some really interesting players here in Atlanta. The Better Buildings Challenge is actually a Department of Energy program. It was started in 2007-8ish, I believe. Atlanta came on board in 2011, and it was initially locally a partnership with the Central Atlanta Progress, which is the downtown CID or Community Development District, and South Face and the City of Atlanta. And what it is, it's a volunteer program to encourage energy and water efficiency initially to be 20% reduction by the year 2020. So we're on the cusp of that. Atlanta, the way that we were able to be so successful in that, and we are the most successful city in the country by far. We have over 114 million square feet within Wow. the program, and it expanded outside of downtown to include Midtown and Buckhead. We will cross our fingers, be able to hit our energy goal next year. We're at like 19.17% reduction. And we hit the water goal early on. And then as we have more buildings, we are now around 17 or 18%. So we're going to get there. But we incentivized energy and water audits and paid for those water audits and energy audits early on. And that really helped to spur investment. And then as people got to see how the reduction in energy costs really, really went to their bottom line and helped with the business aspects, that it really took off. And South Face, as the technical support, manages all of the education. We do all of the reporting and the benchmarking, and then we send everything to the Department of Energy every year.
I think that, you know, a lot of times when people think of sustainability, they strictly think about, you know, the environmental. They don't think about the financial gains as well. I mean, it's better for you, not only for the planet, it's also amazing for your wallet. So let's talk about your favorite thing and my new favorite thing after doing some research. Let's talk about the built environment. You know, it's another hot topic in the industry. It's very, very popular right now. Why do you think the built environment is so important? You know, what do you think is the future for the built environment? And what do you think will happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now? I mean, the technology is going to grow, the passion's going to grow. You know, what do you see on the horizon for this whole space?
Well, for one thing, and this is not a new trend, is that people are moving to the cities. People are moving to urban areas. That's where the jobs are. That's where life is. And you see the connection, and people like that connection, and also the connection with health and wellness. It's a mega trend in sustainability. It used to be two different things. Sustainability is over there, you know, go over and hug a tree, and right. Over here is the health people. And it's, and people have become to realize that these are very much intersected issues. And you want to have a healthy indoor air quality. You want to have healthy options. You want to be able to walk to places for dinner and be able to, you know, have opportunities to recreate. And so people see the power of green space within urban areas. And I mean, the elephant in the room is climate change. And so buildings, and looking at buildings and looking at the built environment, where 60% of, you know, buildings and a lot of our carbon is coming from buildings themselves. And so looking at where we have energy savings and opportunities, you know, you can look at power plants, you can look at agriculture, you can look at transportation, but the built environment has so much opportunity and energy efficiency. You can make a huge dent for fairly low cost in a lot of ways. And you hit the nail on the head with technology. Technology is getting so good at agnostic, so we can get real-time data and make good decisions around how we can improve efficiency and health for people and occupants. And you know, that's really where and why I am so focused on the built environment.
My fiance and I recently bought a home, very recently.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. He's unpacking as we record this. It's amazing that I got the day off from the building. So, you know, before we even were recording, you and I were talking about where we live. It's a very unique community, about 45 minutes outside of Atlanta. It's called Serenby, if you're unfamiliar. When people ask me what it is, you know, I give them a bevy of different answers. The best thing I ever heard came out of the New York Times, and it said, it's a eco-experiment in new urbanism being molded out of Georgia red clay. And I think that's really pretty. And what it is an agro-hood. And I found out this morning that South Face and Serenby have been working together for a while. Do you see these environmentally sustainable neighborhoods and, you know, communities focus on sustainability? Do you see those growing past, you know, the one I live in?
Oh, absolutely. Serenby is, or was, I would say, a little bit of an experiment in that we actually had to change the law in order for it to be built. So Robert Reed, who is on the South Face team, actually worked on the transfer of development rights to have the conservation neighborhood be creative. And what that means is that you preserve a large swath of the land, and then right. You were able to build on other parts more densely.
Right.
And that really created this opportunity to have this really oasis where we are looking at environmentally friendly lens for everything from geothermal for the energy for the neighborhoods to the integration of health and wellness, both from the urban core of Serenby to the residential, and all the homes that are at Serenby are Earthcraft certified. That really means that they are not only efficient, but also healthy.
Let's get back to the, you know, my very stressful home ownership for a second. You know, what can homeowners do that, you know, we're lucky, like you just said, our home is Earthcraft certified. You know, we have these sustainable resources around us, but for people who may not know or who may not have all of this stuff readily available, what are some easy wins for a homeowner to live more sustainably at the, you know, bare bones, the building blocks of that?
Sure. I mean, all the way down to programmable thermostats. That's an easy way to have energy efficiency. Insulation is another really easy thing to do. Low flow toilets, aerators on your faucets. An aerator has a return on investment, going back to the dollars for a second, of about 2 months.
And really,
They're only about $15. They screw right on the faucets. Anything that's water sense, it's Energy Star. They're going to save you money. And I really encourage people to look at beyond the first cost, because if you're going to have something for more than a year or two, it makes so much sense to be able to go to the WaterSense and Energy Star, because you're going to not only save money, but you're also going to save energy.
And you guys are educating the public about this, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is stuff that I don't think, you know, I don't think that a lot of people, at least in my circle, you know, will know until now. I think that this is, you know, really vital information. You guys are doing a lot of education around it, which is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, we not only do homeowner education, but we also train people to go into your home to do energy audits, water audits. They can like look for things like a blower door test, which is a very fancy way of saying that we tape a fan to your door and we look for leakage. And that will really tell you where your air and if you're heating or cooling your house and your house is always hot or always cold, you probably have leakage somewhere. And you can actually have somebody come in and do a blower door test and really seal up your house in a way that makes it much more energy efficient.
So I'm not going to tape a fan to my door. I will have someone come out there. What about an office environment? You know, we spend 40, 50 hours a week in our offices and they kind of are like second homes. You know, what are some steps that any office, you know, can take today that'll pay off in the future, maybe even lower operation costs for them? What are some of the things that small businesses, offices, you know, how can they implement the same kind of strategies?
Sure. I mean, some of the same strategies used in your home, you can also use in your office. Things like lighting. Lighting is a very easy way to be able to reduce costs and also have better quality light. LEDs, you know, skip CFLs, you know, go straight to LEDs. They're much more cost effective. Aerators, daylight. People operate better. Our cognitive function is much better when we can see outside. That's sort of the biophilic way. So if you can like sit near a window or see outside.
There are no windows in this room.
There's no windows
right
where
now.
We are right now. But it's proven that people function better when you have those daylight in view. So get up and walk around a little bit. And also encourage you to talk with your office leadership around healthy, you know, healthy foods and snacks and having different options, as well as having composting and other ways to reduce waste, either office recycling, which is really important and fairly easy to do as well. And that goes all the way from, you know, paper and cardboard recycling all the way over to composting.
Before I let you go, you guys have a very cool event going on tonight that I know that you need to get ready for. I wanted to play a little game with you.
Okay.
You know, we talked about a lot of vocabulary terms and sustainability stuff, and I really just want to get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to shoot off 10 very random rapid fire questions, and you just say the first thing that comes to your mind. I promise you nothing's going to be too ridiculous.
Let's go.
All right. What is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
Check my email.
What is one eco-responsible action that you try to do every day?
Use a reusable water bottle.
If any artist could throw you a private concert, who would you choose?
Chris Botti.
Where's your favorite place to travel?
Paris.
When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Astronaut.
Which emoji do you think best describes you?
Smiley.
What do you like on your pizza?
Banana peppers and mushrooms and pepperoni.
What does your dream Saturday look like?
A walk in the park and dinner at home with friends and family.
Who is one person right now that's really inspiring you?
My 10-year-old son.
Why?
It's amazing to see the world through their eyes, and he is just so courageous and fun, and the empathy that comes out of children right now, I think, in a world when we need kindness, and I think that's a really good reminder for all of us.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Success means to me waking up every day with purpose and knowing that myself and my team are making a difference to make the world a better place.
Well, I absolutely think that you are. And before we get going, I wanted to quickly, you know, have us plug some of the cool things that we have going on. So what's next for South Face? Where can people get more information? Where can they pledge to talk trash? You know, what does that look like? Kind of go through your calendar of events or anything that you want the public to know about.
Sure. Well, you mentioned briefly that we have a big event tonight. It's our annual fundraiser dinner called Visionary Dinner.
And who's speaking?
So we are honoring Shirley Franklin, who is very vital for the sustainability movement in the city of Atlanta, and the Beltline also was started underneath her. So we're honoring her with our annual Argonne Award. Steve Nygren will be presenting that award to her. He was the award winner last year. And Odetta McClesh White, who is the executive director of the Transformation Alliance, which is an amazing organization. She'll also be speaking.
Yeah, it's a very star-studded lineup.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And it's our 40th birthday, so we're celebrating Ruby tonight, which is fun.
I love it. And where can everyone find South Face? And if they want to, you know, take the pledge, talk trash, where can they go to do that?
Absolutely. So we can be found at southface.org. That is our website. All the information is on there. Talk trash, hashtag talk trash. And you can join some really great company like the Beltline, the ARC, Center for Civil and Human Rights, Cox, Delta, Rubicon, Salvation Army, and others who've actually already taken the pledge. So I challenge each of you to take the pledge and to talk trash.
Awesome. Well, thank you for talking trash with me this morning. This
Absolutely.
Was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Are you a brick and mortar small business owner and want to win $10,000? We're on the hunt to find the best small business in America. We're looking for a mom and pop shop that balances a presence in their community while using their business as a force for social or environmental good. Entries close on October 19th and the winner will be announced on Small Business Saturday, November 24th. Enter now by telling us why your small business deserves a shot at the cash at RubiconGlobal.com/2018best.